me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Welcome back, lady listeners.
Hey, lady listeners, welcome back. We have a brand new audiobook for you this week. It's from Alexandria House. She has brought us Merry Christmas, Baby, which is perfect timing for this holiday season.
It is.
So we will talk about Alexandria House and all of her great books in just a few minutes. First, we'll make this a quick episode. We know it's the holidays. You've got a lot of running around to do. You want something to listen to, not to hear us talk, I'm sure. I wanted to mention, I've read a couple of good books lately.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned before that Gracie and the Grump by Mariana Zapata finally hit audio. I listened to it last week and I finished it and it was so freaking cute. It was
your text
so good.
Was cute. You sent me a few good ones. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if that's a spoiler. I don't think it's a spoiler. I would want to know. I would want to know that going in. I feel
if it had double virgins, I'd want to know too.
I would want to know. It was so good. I love that. And so, but it was such a different story because it was present day, but people knew that superheroes existed, but there was only three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't know anything about them or where they came from, but they called them the Trinity. But they just knew that they showed up in times of natural disasters or a nuclear explosion or that they saved the world basically. But they only came around every once in a while. It was really rare. Anyway, so there was, this whole kind of thing happening, which was different, than most books that I've read. But it was a nice way to softly step into superhero romance. But also, it was a cool story because it turned, she's just out, one of them winds up in her yard one day, crashes into her yard. And she's what the fuck? And she has to take care of him. And he's just so grouchy and grumpy and surly, and they kind of pick on each other and stuff and bicker, but it's really relatable a lot of it.
It's relatable.
It's relatable a little bit, but also really fun and sweet. And I liked that. I mean, if you don't want to know anything about the book, you can fast forward, but I liked that he never really turned sweet. He never was soft. And even with her, he was still kind of he pushed her buttons, but it made her stronger.
Yeah.
Cause she was kind of afraid and hidden and didn't want to get out in the world. And he pushed her into him, was come on, don't be a baby. What are you, a wuss? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing to encourage her. And he never really changed. But they even talk about it at the end of it where it's no, that's what works for me. I need you to push me and pick on me and tease me. That's what's going to make me be brave and bold and do what I need to do, And so I love that about it. So it's just a really honest thing. And let me tell you, there is this audio is I don't know, 15, 16 hours, 18. I don't know. It's a long ass book. And the last 20 minutes is when you finally get the spice. Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's a paragraph, it's it's an afterthought. But the paragraph that you get is so juicy. There's so much good dirty talk in it.
Mm-hmm.
The dirty talk is so nasty. And I'm yes. And it was just enough for me. It was the icing on the cake. I was in it. So it was great. And, I wanted to mention that. I did finish it. I loved it. It was a great read. So it'll be one of my, it'll be right up there at the top with my other Mariana Zapata books. They're all on the top shelf. It'll be up there with it. And then last night I finished, there was a new Allie Hazelwood called, Check and Mate.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it before cause, I had a friend that read it and I was it's a YA book. Could my daughter read this? And she was no, and I will stand by that recommendation. No, my daughter cannot read this, but she's only 12. So I think maybe 15 plus 16, something, it would be totally fine. because there's a lot of like sex and stuff reference, but that's all closed door. But it's definitely talked about. She's only 18 and she slept with a lot of people, and she sleeps with boys and girls. So like, which is obviously totally fine, but that's like a big part of it is her sexuality. Like that's a major line for her in the story.
Think kids are more promiscuous now?
I don't know. I think they're like
there were some horny ones of us running around.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think I was any more promiscuous than kids are now. I just think kids are more they're able to discuss it more. Like maybe it's a health.
Yeah.
Like maybe they feel freer to talk about their sexuality and the sex that they have. And you know, I think it's great that people have made that like a healthy subject that, you know, shouldn't be shameful. And, you know, to, for someone, especially younger, you know, I would have never at, you know, when 16 gone and known to ask for someone, you know, to take care of me or like how to give me pleasure. I wouldn't have known how to do that.
Yeah.
So like, I think maybe like that's, if anything, that's helped have those healthier conversations about like, hey, if we're going to do this, you know, I want to feel safe and protected, but I also need you to do this to make me feel good, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So maybe if that feels like kids are more promiscuous, if anything, I feel like maybe it's just a
more open
subject.
We just talked about it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a more open discussion.
For sure.
I remember a lot of people doing some shit.
No, right? But yeah, if anything, I'd love to take the shame out of it. So I think that's great. But, yeah. You know, there's a lot of it talked about in this book. So I would say a little bit more mature than my daughter reads. But it was a cool story because, it's like present day, but they play chess. And she was like a chess prodigy who got out of it when she was younger. And he is like a couple years older, but he's, again, a chess prodigy. They never met until like, her friend takes her to this chess match and they need one more. And she goes in and she ends up going in and beating like the grand champion or whatever. And this is like the opening chapter. She like just walks in, sits down and beats him and everybody goes nuts because this guy hasn't been beaten. Mm-hmm. And she would just like runs out of there. And he's like, hold up. I need to know what happened. How did you do this? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what the story is about. You know, her kind of coming to terms with it. And it's really good. There's parts of it that I was like, okay, this is a little bit repetitive, but I really enjoy Allie Hazelwood's characters because I do feel like they're like very dimensional. There's a lot of stuff happening in the story. I always think they're, you know, not like just a normal contemporary A, B, and C happens. Like, you know, it's not always expected what's going to happen. So I enjoy that. I do think sometimes when I read her stuff, there's things that get said a lot, like just the parts of the storyline are repeated. But, you know, sometimes that's necessary to like reiterate maybe like what she's feeling. Yeah. So I can understand why she did it. But yeah, so I liked it. I thought it was really good. But that and the narrator on it, I really enjoyed. She did a great job. So I finished those and really liked it. And then I listened to last week's audiobook. So I finished the Allie Hazelwood and then I went straight in to listen to Angelina M. Lopez in the Stacks. And lady listeners, let me tell you. Don't ever talk to me again if you don't listen to last week's audiobook, okay? I don't even want to know you. Don't tell me you're a lady listener if you have not listened to In the Stacks, okay? That's the only one you need to listen to. And then I'll know that you're a true lady listener because that book was filthy and it was so good and it was hot and fun and sexy. And the dirty talk was, I told Mel before we started recording, I'll never recover from that. The dirty talk is so good. It's short. I think it's like 30, 40 minutes.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
I haven't listened to it yet, but you were like, you've heard me say this book before, but a construction mm-hmm. worker and a librarian with
yes.
dirty talk and he bangs her in the library
yes.
downstairs uh-huh. is yep. heavy issues.
Yeah. It's a Jordan Silver book. Is that-
no.
Oh, no. Heavy issues. It's what's her name?
Acart or something like that?
Yes.
Ellie
Acart. I think that's it. Ellie Acart.
I haven't seen her stuff in a while. She writes great dirty talk,
shit,
too.
That's a good one. I haven't heard about that in a long time.
God, I might go back and read that. And that's on audio.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And the ones before it, the ink ones about another couple are really good, too.
God, it's been so long since I've read those. Damn. You just called back something from a while ago.
Yeah, I just Well, I don't know. I was always a good
book. It just
made
me think about it. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know if it holds up. If you go back and listen to that again, report back, because I want to know how it holds up, because it's about like body dysmorphia.
Yeah. She had body dysmorphia. What I liked about her issue with the weight thing, though, was that she really did have an issue with food. Like, mm-hmm. there was an unhealthy aspect to it. And the rest mm-hmm. of her life wasn't about not eating, per se. It was about mm-hmm. eating correctly and keeping yourself healthy and yeah. in check. So, mm-hmm. and he loves how she is. God, mm-hmm. I'll never forget that book. He, like, talks about her stretch marks. He bangs her in the ass. He, like, fucks the shit out of her. He's, like, obsessed with her. Because he's super, everybody in town mm-hmm. wants him. And he's annoyed with it. So he's like, will you sleep with me? I don't want commitment, though. Like, I don't want, we only sleep together.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to tell everybody we're in a relationship, but we're not actually serious. And obviously, he starts to fall for her.
Yeah.
Because there's one part, God, I don't remember the whole book. I'm like remembering it now. When she stops dating him, she's like, I'm mm-hmm. falling for you. I'm going to fall in love with you. And she's like, so we can only do sex. And he was like doing breakfasts and lunches and all this stuff. And then he starts getting mad, like grumpy. He's like stomping around and shit. And then he like bangs the shit out of her. He's like, we're going back to dating.
That's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Why do I love that so much? Oh my God.
God.
So yeah, so that's what the Angelina M. Lopez book is about. This girl, it's so quick. They don't even know each other's names. It happens so fast. Like, she's in the library masturbating. Construction worker comes in and helps her out. Like, that's literally it. And it is so hot. And I told Angelina, I messaged her and I said, if you write a book about this couple, like a full book, so I'll come to your house and play and hold up a boombox outside and propose, and I'll stand out there until you marry me. And she was like, I'll probably say yes. So, oh my God, I love her. So yeah, go check that out. And then up next I have Wicked Ties by Shanora Williams. That is the second book, and I think it's a trilogy. I know I talked about it before. I haven't read it yet. The Tether trilogy. I've read the first book in it. The second book came out. I've been saving it. I was like trying to finish up my other audiobooks that I had. And that one's a little bit longer, The Wicked Ties is. And I was like, I want to save that for when we're on Christmas break and I have a lot of time and I can wrap presents and I can just sit there for like 3 hours, you know, yeah. and just start, like, I want to listen to big chunks of it. So that one I've been saving, but I'm really excited to read that one. So have you got anything good?
No,
I've been rereading. Yeah.
So I haven't, I looked through before we got on. I was like, God, I just reread a bunch of crap. But now I'm going to move heavy issues.
No, you're going to go up and find it. You know what was funny was today when I plugged in my phone, because I listen to Spotify, I plugged it in and I went and like my Audible app automatically came up. It didn't play an audiobook, but it said like, your next listen, and Valiant by Lauren Donner was the first book that came up. And I was like, well, who am I to argue with the aligning of the stars? Am I right? Who am I to argue with the universe telling
me? That's so weird that you brought him up, because I was thinking about him today.
Were you really stopped?
I was, because it's... Something happened in another book I was reading, and I just remember him being pouty after she, like, hit him over the head in the beginning.
I know.
After he went like, down Tammy, on her.
Tammy, my love. Why would you do that to me?
And then he's like, I don't want to talk about it. But everybody's, like, petrified of him.
Yes. And he's just like, I don't understand. Tammy, my love. Oh my God. That's such a great book. That's Valiant by Lauren Donner, the new species.
And it's the first book he's okay. banging her out.
Oh my God. I mean, just right chapter, away.
He's like, bam. Yeah. Like he like smelled her. Oh, yeah.
She was on a catering job and she took a wrong turn in this protected land of the new species compound where they're supposed to be like all the feral animals are out there. And so she ended up just a human with her food truck. She ended up out there in the compound area, and he smells her, and he's like, "Well, we're gonna have sex." he's right like, now.
She's mine.
Oh, she's my maid.
We're gonna and she's like, no. And he's like, I'll convince you. Watch.
Yeah, okay, it's fine. Come with me. Come with me. I'm going to convince you. It'll be okay. And so, like, she tries to get away, and she hits him over the head with, like, this giant lamp or something. Yeah. And then he's like, why would you do that? Tammy, my love. Tammy, what are you doing? It's so ridiculous. Yeah. Oh my god, so
adorable, because he's an asshole to every human but her.
I know. He's like, I don't, I'll bring you food and flowers, what do you want? I'll hunt for you. Oh my god,
the whole time he's like, I need to pluff you up.
Why does everybody tell me that?
Make me, we're obsessed with it.
I know, right? Like, this sounds like heaven. He wants to feed her and just go down on her all the time. That's it. That sounds like heaven to me. So, all right, let's talk about Alexandria House while we're on this subject. I'll read you her author bio. A true Southern girl, Alexandria House has an affinity for a good banana pudding. Girl, me too. Mm-hmm. Neo soul music and tall black men in suits. When the music-loving fashionista is not shopping, she's writing steamy stories about real black love. I love that. She's got this one book. It's called Goal, that I have had. I have it saved in my audios. It's like one of those where I'm like, I'm going to save it when I'm in the right mood for it. She's a blogger, Carla, but she also like does admin and stuff for the Read Me Romance podcast. But she was the one that was recommending it to me. And I was like, oh, I need something like this or this or this. And she was like, how about this one? So she recommended it, and it's like the guy that's in it, from what I remember, he's a hockey player and he needs a nanny, and the woman that comes in like as the nanny, they end up like falling for each other. I think is that, if I remember, I think that's what it was. But I remember Carla telling me it was one of like the hottest books she read, and I was like, I believe you. Okay, download. So I bought the book, like I have it on my Audible thing. So I was like, I just need to listen to it. So I saw that Alexandria was coming on the podcast week, and I was like, no time like the present. Let's listen. So she actually told us, she said her latest book, which is a hockey romance titled Holding, is now available in paperback, ebook, and audio on all retailers. She also has some fun Christmas merch on her website at alexhouseshop.com, which is so cute. Like, go on there, check that out. It's got a ton of like holiday themed stuff. And let's see, her giveaway this week, she is doing a signed copy of the holiday shorts and, or I'm sorry, she's doing a giveaway of the holiday shorts audiobook. So, which is great. I'm like, I love how many audios she's got. Like when I was going through on her Amazon page.
A lot.
Like,
and she's some short ones too.
Yes. And I was like, these are the kind of audiobooks I love, where they're just like bite-sized, sexy, so cute. Love it. Went through, got a ton of those, but she's giving away the holiday shorts and audio, which I thought was awesome for our listeners. She said, if you want, you can visit her website at msmissalexhouse.com, or you can follow her on IG at the same handle. So on Instagram, she's at msalexhouse. So Miss Alex House, you can get her there. Merry Christmas, Baby is the book that we're about to play for you. Having to work on Christmas Eve is bad. Having to work the graveyard shift on Christmas Eve is worse. Having to work the graveyard shift on Christmas Eve when your life is a mess, well, that's some bullshit. There doesn't seem to be a Merry Christmas in store for Sunday marks, but maybe one call can change that. I love this. I'm so excited to play it. So,
let's send them in.
Let's do it.
We'll see you guys on the other side.
Merry Christmas, Baby. My life was so incredibly screwed up, I forgot what a good day looked like. My job sucked. My family was crazy. And my love life? Ha! We won't even go there. As I stepped through the doors of Hughes Memorial Hospital, my only solace for having to work on Christmas Eve was that at least I'd be in the heat, since the heating unit in my apartment was busted and it was freaking snowing. Snowing? In Mississippi? The hell? See? Screwed up. I ambled down the hallway that led to the business wing of the hospital, still bundled in my coat, trying to shift my mind into working mode, because as much as I hated that job, I needed it. As I knocked on the locked door, my eyes inspecting the brown switchboard plaque that was affixed to it, The thought hit my mind that they needed to rename the office, change it from switchboard to my personal hell, because that's what it was. I had to stand there for 5 minutes, but knew that my knocks had been heard. I could hear the voices inside as my coworkers handled phone calls. Someone would let me in as soon as they could, but the calls had to be taken care of first. Finally, the door was snatched open and I saw Erica's petite frame scurrying back to her seat to catch another call. Stepping inside the tiny windowless office that at any given moment housed between 1 and 8 operators, I slid out of my coat and found a spot for it on the coat rack. Glancing around the room at the 4 familiar faces who were wrapping up their 2-to-10 shift, I sighed. I would have rather been anywhere but there on Christmas Eve. Wendy turned to face me, headset still on, and said, "Hey, Sunday. Bad news. Dana called in, so it's just you tonight." My mouth fell open. Could this situation get any worse? Huh? She held up a finger, turning back to the computer screen in front of her as she hit the space bar to accept a call. "Hughes Memorial, how may I direct your call?" "One moment." When she turned to face me again, her green eyes were stretched wide as she shrugged. "I was just told to pass the message on. Sorry." I was sure she was told by our supervisor, lazy-ass Michael, who I was positive didn't even bother trying to find someone to cover Dana. Now I would have to work the 10-to-6 shift alone, which meant no breaks. I'd have to rush to pee in the tiny office restroom, eat my middle-of-the-night lunch at my workstation, and stay alert all by myself with just the company of a radio we were made to keep at a whisper. Shaking my head and feeling defeated, I said, "Let me go ahead and hit the restroom then." 15 minutes later, I was alone in front of the computer, directing calls. Being the only person there, it was initially hectic, but by midnight, things had slowed down enough for me to take a quick potty break. There was a call buzzing in when I put my headset back on. Settling in my seat, I accepted it. "Hughes Memorial, how may I direct your call?"
"You still mad at me?"
My eyes jumped to the number on the screen. I never paid attention to the numbers unless I was being asked to take a message for a doctor or put one in their ancient hospital-issued pagers. But did I really need to look at the number to know it was him? I knew his voice, the voice that seemed to flow through my ears directly to my vagina. At least that's where I felt the impact of hearing it. I crossed my legs as my eyes scanned the room, landing on the papers taped to the wall in front of me. The same papers, full of call instructions and important numbers that decorated all of the workstations.
Come again?"
I croaked, knowing he was referring to the text I'd sent him a week or so earlier, telling him to kiss my ass since he didn't know how to call me anymore, and me ignoring his subsequent calls and texts.
"I'd love to, if you'll let me."
I squeezed my eyes shut. "That's the problem. That's all you want to do with me."
"Sunday."
"Justin, I'm at work, and I have another call coming in."
"I'll hold."
I was lying. There was no other call. There was just me falling apart, because that's what Justin Bell did to me. Always. Nevertheless, I said, "Okay, be right back," and stared at his number on the screen as I thought about how his hands and lips and everything else felt on and in me. Now I was beginning to sweat instead of enjoying the warmth of the office.
"You gonna put me on hold? I can hear you breathing."
"Shit. What do you want?"
"You."
"You had me, didn't appreciate me."
"So you're not mine anymore?"
I didn't answer that. What was the point in lying? Of course I was still his. Who else's would I be?
"I miss you, baby."
His voice droned. "I bet you do."
"All of you."
"Right. That's why I haven't heard from you."
"I've been busy, you know that. And I've tried to call. You ignored me."
I didn't respond.
"I'd like to see you."
"Not a good idea."
"Why?"
"Because."
"Sunday."
"That's my name." He chuckled into the phone.
"Why you gotta act like this?"
"I gotta go, Justin." This time, there really was a call coming in.
Call me back.
I ended the call without answering him. An hour later, I was struggling to keep my eyes open. I was used to working graveyard, but it was so quiet that night. A tiredness seemed to settle over me that I had a hard time fighting. It didn't help that the one radio station we could get that deep in the hospital inside the office's soundproof walls was only playing Christmas music. And I don't mean Donny Hathaway's This Christmas or Carla Thomas's Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. They were on some Bing Crosby BS. I had music on my phone but was too tired to dig in my purse for it. Besides, the powers that be strictly outlawed cell phone usage in the office so we wouldn't get distracted. But I was alone. So I had mustered up some strength and dug my phone out of my bag to see several missed calls from Justin when a switchboard call buzzed in my ear. With my eyes still on my phone, I reached over and hit the space bar on the keyboard. Hughes Memorial, how?
You didn't call me back.
I rolled my eyes. Because we have nothing to talk about.
I'd like to see you.
You already said that.
Yeah, but you gave me the wrong answer before. You were supposed to say you wanted to see me, too.
I don't. I lied.
I love you.
No, you don't.
I do. More than anything.
I sighed. It doesn't matter. I'm done being what you expect me to be.
And what's that?
A faceless vagina. Something you can dump all your frustrations in.
That's not what you are to me. You know that, son.
I shook my head as I inspected my raggedy fingernails. I needed a mani, but shit, I also needed lights. Lights won. I should go, because my slumlord expects his rent on time, regardless if the heat works or not, or if the lock on my bedroom window is broken, or if Ms. Harris's dog next door keeps shitting everywhere outside. So I need this job.
Son,
see? While you've been busy flying all over the country, managing that rich brother of yours and being his everything, I've been stuck back here in the real world. And if you think I'm a step out of my misery into humiliation by driving 40 miles to some hotel again to fuck you because you can't even be bothered to come to my place, you can kiss my ass. I knew you before you became Justin Bell, manager extraordinaire to R&B sensation Messiah. I knew you when you didn't even know what to do with the woman. I was your first.
I was your first too, son. And I'm gonna be your last.
I hated how calm he always was. Justin never raised his voice, ever. No matter how angry he would get, the tone of his voice never changed. It was irritating as hell.
You don't love me anymore, son,
he asked. You left me behind. You forgot about me. Now I was fighting tears.
I could never forget you, baby. Never. I love you too much.
I wiped the one tear that managed to escape. Yeah, you keep saying that.
Because it's the truth. Let me show you it's the truth.
No, I won't be your little playground anymore. I'm not letting you treat me like one of your brother's groupies.
I got a new job.
I frowned, and when a call buzzed in, I got annoyed, like I wasn't being paid to answer it. Hold on. After directing a call from the postpartum floor to the lab, I went back to his call. You did what?
I got another job. One with a crazy good salary. Bonuses and perks like you wouldn't believe.
Where?
Diggable Records. I'm in artist development. Less travel, more money, and I don't have to deal with my brother's silly ass anymore.
Wow. You finally got your dream job. How?
Maybe all the work I've done sculpting my brother's image and career over the last couple years has something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, congrats. Good for you.
I'm moving to Atlanta since that's where I'll be working. There'll be some travel involved, but nothing like how things have been. I'll actually have an address.
And what did that do for me here in fucking Mississippi? That's great.
Son, I'm sorry for not calling as much as I should. Things have been crazy. I had to find my brother another manager plus an assistant. because I was doing a lot of stuff for him that wasn't in a manager's job description. I know. I also had to get a handle on this new job.
You've already started?
Yes. Been staying in a residential inn.
When he first started managing his brother, things remained stable between us. But after Kelvin Messiah Bell's star began to rise, the physical and emotional distance between me and Justin expanded exponentially. Now, he was keeping my podunk ass totally out of the loop, and that really pissed me off.
I gotta go.
I hung up before he could reply and ignored his subsequent calls to the switchboard and my cell. He hadn't even commented on what I shared about my shack of an apartment. I didn't have time to sit up and listen to how his life was evolving from good to great while I struggled to make it. I had a damn degree and he didn't. A lot of good it was doing me.
Justin.
Call me.
I stared at the text and shook my head. Me.
Fuck you.
Justin.
Why are you tripping?
Me. Because I can't heat my apartment with your dick. You might think you love me, but you don't give a shit about me. Stop contacting me.
Justin.
I didn't know, baby. If you'd told me, I would have helped you. I've been told you to move.
Me. How? To where? With what?
Justin.
With my help. All you had to do was ask.
Me. I shouldn't have had to ask. You knew my situation.
Justin.
That's why I told you to move.
Me. But you didn't tell me you'd help.
Justin.
Damn, son. That was a given. I'd do anything for you. All this time we've been together and you don't know that. I'd be asking if you need anything, but you always say you're good. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Force you to take the money?
Shit.
He was right about that, but me. I'm not used to accepting help from people.
Justin.
I'm not people. I'm your man.
Damn, that was sexy. Nevertheless,
me.
What about all of the quick out-of-town screwing?
Justin.
You know I'll only be having like hours to see you, but I still try to make the time. Son, ain't much we can do in that amount of time and shit.
I miss your pussy.
I asked you to drive up to Memphis the last time because it was close to the airport. If you had asked, I would have come to you.
Me. Why don't you call me more?
Justin.
I've been calling more. You've been ignoring me, remember?
Me.
I had to text curse you for you to do it, though.
Justin.
I've been busy, baby. But that's no excuse. I'm sorry. I'ma do better.
Me. You just saying that because you want some.
Justin.
I do want some. But I'm being for real. You ever know me to lie?
No. I'd never known him to lie to me. Ever.
Me. Why didn't you tell me about the new job before?
Justin.
Wanted to surprise you.
Before I could text back, several calls came through the switchboard. When there was finally a lull, a knock sounded at the door, making my heart jump in my chest.
Justin?
Hell no. No way it was him. He was in damn Atlanta.
Yanking the headset off and rushing to the door, I opened it to find Harold Jones on the other side. I should have known it was him. Justin was messing with my brain.
Slow night,
he asked, as he handed me the day's on-call schedule, a listing of the physicians and other poor souls who were working specialty areas on Christmas Day.
Very. 2 a.m. on the dot.
You don't miss a beat, do you? I replied, giving him a smile.
Nope. Almost done, too.
Glad I'm off today. You off?
By some miracle, I am.
Big plans? He asked, lifting his thick, wiry eyebrows. None but to get some sleep. I glanced back at the computer screen to see a call flashing.
Gotta go.
Thanks, Harold. The graying black man tipped his invisible hat.
No problem.
I fell back into the chair and resumed my work, soon finding myself in the middle of paging doctors and routing several calls to and from the ICU. Apparently, something big was happening up there. By the time things quieted down, another hour had passed. Checking my cell,
I saw no more messages from Justin and figured he'd fallen asleep. I wish I could go to sleep right now. Deciding to finally eat my lunch, two tamales left over from a batch I bought from my neighbor, Mrs. Rosales, I thought about calling Harold to see if he wanted to eat in the office with me. We did that from time to time. He was a kind man, easy to talk to, and I needed the distraction to keep my mind off of Justin, my jacked-up life, my crazy mom, and my wayward sister. I had dialed the internal number for the scheduling office when another knock came at the door. Grinning, I cleared the call out and rolled backward in my chair, pulling the door open with my eyes still on the computer screen. You read my mind. I was just about to call you.
You were?
I froze, and a second or two later turned in my seat to see him, just as chocolatey and handsome as ever. Shit, maybe even handsomer than when I'd last seen him. Justin, you're here? A smile spread across his face as he nodded.
Yeah, where'd you think I was?
In Atlanta. He closed the door and leaned against it.
Why would I spend Christmas in Atlanta when my gift lives here?
I didn't know what to say, so I just sat there and stared at him until a call buzzed in my ear. My eyes were still on him when I hit the space bar and said, Hughes Memorial, how may I direct your call? After I took care of that call, I said, You can't be in here, Justin.
Where's your coworker?
I don't have one tonight. With raised eyebrows, he asked,
They got you working by yourself?
I nodded.
Then who's going to know I'm in here?
I dropped my eyes but lifted them when I saw him move away from the door. He crouched in front of me, grasping my chin and looking me in the eye.
You have no idea how much I miss you.
I had opened my mouth to respond with something snarky when he seized it, his tongue scraping against mine. This was Justin, inarguably my greatest weakness. So I almost involuntarily returned the kiss, grasping his muscular arms while he held my face in his big hands. The kiss lasted for a long time, several minutes, until a call coming in forced my mouth from his. I had to catch my breath before answering it, and as I took instructions from the surgical wing to page Dr. Freeland, I felt Justin reach around my chair and grasp my breasts through my dress. By the time I was done with my task, my nipples were pebbled and my core was flooded. I spun around in the chair to glare at him, standing there looking all fine as shit.
What?
He asked innocently. We haven't resolved anything. I'm not having sex with you.
Okay, then let's talk.
I sighed, letting my eyes fall just enough to see the bulge below his waist. Okay, so it had been a while. Weeks. I was horny as hell. And I did love him, even though I was mad at him. So I said, We gotta be quick, and I'll have to lean over this workstation so I can still see if anyone's calling. He frowned, confusion evident on his face.
What?
I reached for his belt, unbuckling it.
Oh,
he said, grabbing my hand and pulling me up from my seat, stretching the headset cord. He kissed me again, but this one only lasted a few seconds before the duties of my job summoned me. I had turned back around, still on my feet, as I leaned over the workstation and answered the call. When I felt him lift my sweater dress, then pull my thick tights and my panties down to my ankles, his mouth was on the back of my neck moments later, his warm tongue swiping at my skin. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I said as I transferred the call. Reaching under my butt, he slid a couple of fingers inside me as I answered another call. This one from a physician who wanted me to page one of his colleagues. As I did just that, I felt Justin remove his fingers and then tap my ankles so that I could step out of the tights and panties. I'd kicked out of my boots hours earlier.
Lift your leg up on your chair, baby.
He whispered in my ear as Elvis Presley softly wailed about a blue Christmas on the radio. I did as instructed,
and was glad I wasn't on a call when he began licking my yoni from the back, making me moan. He stopped long enough to say, "Shh," and then resumed his tongue lashing. I gripped the edge of my desk, eyes closed, as I softly hummed my pleasure. Justin's tongue swiped at my clit over and over again before he pulled it into his mouth and sucked hard, making me flinch. "Justin," I whimpered. Pleasure buzzed inside my core as a familiar franticness filled me, soon to be replaced by orgasm-induced endorphins washing over me. My leg buckled as I whined, dropping my chin into my chest. Through the haze of my post-orgasmic state, I heard movement behind me, felt him grasp my hips, and then he eased inside my drenched core. "Oh, shit, shit, shit," I murmured. "Damn, son." He glided in and out of me at an easy pace at first, soon increasing the speed and depth of his thrusts, causing me to squeeze my eyes shut and bite my bottom lip. When another call came through, my first thought was to ignore it because I wasn't sure if I could make myself sound like I wasn't screwing. Opening one eye, I saw that it was from the damn ER, and I knew I had to answer it. As I did with internal calls, I said, "Switchboard, Sunday speaking," in a pretty normal voice. Then Justin reached around and fingered my clit as he drove into me, causing me to suck in a breath. "Yes, Sunday, can you page the orthopedic doctor on call?" "Yes, sure thing. Your name?" "This is Dr. Jackson." "Okay. Ooh, I'm on it." "All right. Thanks." I ended the call and slapped my hand against the top of the desk, yelled, "Shit," and then fumbled through the motions of paging the doctor. "Oh," I moaned as I entered the paging doctor's name into the on-screen log. "Holly Jolly Christmas" was now gleefully streaming from the radio. Justin pulled my hair and pressed his mouth to my ear. "Still hot, still good, still mine." All I could say was, "Ah!" He rocked in and out of me through three more calls. I was so far gone at one point I actually answered a call with, "Oh, goddamn! Hughes Memorial!" Yes, my black ass was getting fired, I was sure of that. I had whimpered through another orgasm when I felt him lose his rhythm, wrapping his arms tightly around me and roar into my ear as he climaxed, emptying inside of me to the sounds of, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." He held me close to him, his wild heartbeat thumping against my back as we both tried to regain control of our breathing. He rested his head against the back of mine and said, "I ain't perfect. But I love you, Sunday. Don't you ever doubt that." I closed my eyes. There was no sense in lying about my feelings with him soaking inside of me. So I said, "I love you too." "We need to talk. Can we talk after you get off? I'll meet you at your place."
"Where are you staying?"
"At your place, if that's okay."
"Where have you been all night?"
"At my aunt's, checking on her and my uncle."
That was understandable since they raised him and his brother. I craned my neck to look back at him. "Can you get a room or something? My heat's broken, remember?" He kissed me.
"Yeah, baby, whatever you want. Call me when you get off. I'll tell you where I'm at."
"Okay." He finally pulled out of me with a grunt, spinning me around to face him.
"And tell whatever nigga you was gonna call when you opened the door for me. I got something for his ass."
It was a coworker. I was going to see if he wanted to have lunch with me.
You gonna get his coworker ass kicked.
30 minutes later, I'd sprayed some powder fresh scented Glade in the office, made a quick trip to the restroom to try and clean myself up, and Justin was gone. He texted to see if I was okay about an hour after he left, and I didn't respond because I was experiencing a bad case of post-coital regret.
I had a feeling things weren't going to change. I needed to move on, but I wasn't sure if I could. And the more I sat there transferring calls, the more down I felt. And then I got angry. If he loved me, he should have said he'd pick me up from work knowing the weather was jacked up. Or he could have stayed with me since I'd already broken the rules by letting him into the office. He could have kept me company until right before the next shift started. See, that was the problem. Justin was thoughtless when it came to me. Wasn't I worth more than that? Hell yeah, I was. So fuck Justin. In my angered state, the rest of my shift seemed to zoom by, and before I knew it, I was answering the door for the 8 women who would, together, perform the tasks I had completed alone. I gave them all a half-hearted greeting as I gathered my things, shrugged into my coat, and left with tears stinging my eyes. I made it to the atrium, all bright and decorated. People moving in and out of the sliding doors as the dormant hospital came to life. Smiles and Merry Christmases greeted me, and all I could do was nod as I approached the doors and stopped when a blast of frigid air blew inside. Moving to the side, I stared out the foggy windows at the huge Christmas tree just beyond the hospital's entrance, still brilliant with millions of lights. My damn heart was breaking. And all that awaited me at home was coldness, a lean cuisine meal, and a flat 2-liter bottle of Coke. What was so merry about this day? Finally, shaking off the gloom enough to move my feet, I headed outside, dipping my head against the freezing wind. I hoofed toward my car and yelped when I saw a figure leaning against the hood. I thought your ass would never come out. I'm about to freeze to death out here. What are you doing?
Waiting for you.
Out here?
Yeah.
What? I thought you were going to get a room.
I did. And then I came back here right before you got off, just in case you sat up in there and started overthinking and didn't call me.
Damn. He really did know me. Well, since you're here, we might as well get this over with. Justin?
Look, the reason I've been working so much, not spending enough time with you, is so I can be able to take care of you like you deserve, because I know you never had that before. You've always been there for me, always held me down and believed in me. I want to return the favor, support you so you can write your poetry and stuff. I'm sorry if in the process I made you feel like I deserted you.
My eyes fell to my feet. Justin,
and the reason I didn't tell you about the new job or moving to Atlanta is I needed to make sure everything was in place. I wanted things to be right.
For what? What the hell are you talking about? He fell to one knee right there in the soft snow blanketing the parking lot.
Sunday Elaine Marks, I love you so, so much, baby. Will you marry me?
He was holding a ring, a really pretty one. My mouth dropped open. Justin, I... What? I sputtered, blowing steam from my mouth.
Will you marry me? And by that, I mean, will you quit your job, hop on a plane, and follow me to Atlanta? Because I'm not leaving you here. Not even if you say no.
What?
Yeah. Since I can't read minds and you act like you don't know how to open your mouth when you need something, you're coming with me. I don't give a damn what you say, son. You are not.
Yes!
Huh?
I'll marry you. And I'm probably gonna get fired anyway for cursing that old lady out while answering the phone when we were doing it. So when are we leaving?
Take your glove off.
Do what? He held the ring up higher. Oh, I snatched the glove off my left hand and couldn't help but smile when he slid the ring onto my finger. Standing to his feet and pulling me into his arms, he said,
"Thank you, son."
I squeezed my arms around him. When did you say we were leaving for Atlanta?
Shit, we can leave right now if you want. Try to catch the next flight out. I know you ain't trying to spend the holiday with your crazy ass family.
You know it.
Your mom's still staying with that crackhead dude.
And his crackhead mom.
Damn.
Yeah. Hey, how about we make use of that room you got first? because that proposal just turns me all the way on.
Shit, okay. Let's take my rental.
I nodded as we walked across the parking lot, hand in hand.
Hey, I was about to break up with you. You know that?
He shot me a smirk.
Oh, you was gonna try to break up with me? That wasn't happening, son. I don't care what you said or how you said it. You weren't getting rid of me.
Oh, really?
Really?
As we settled in his car, I looked at him and smiled.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah?
Merry Christmas.
He stretched over the console and brushed his lips gently across mine.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, lady listeners. Thank you so much to Alexandria House for letting us play Merry Christmas, Baby. Make sure you check out her latest release, Holding, which is a hockey romance. Also check out Goal. Make sure you enter her giveaway of the holiday short audiobook that she's giving out and follow her on Instagram at Miss Alex House, MS, Miss Alex House. Do that. Up next week, we have, I believe, Alexa Riley.
Yes.
I know. I had to double check. I was like, let me make sure I'm going to say that right. So, yeah, it's us. We were going to end out the year, but we've actually got Emma Bray is going to give us an audio book to play on Christmas. So, which is really cool. So if you're just hanging out on Christmas and you want something to listen to, you'll have that next after us. But yeah, next week we've got Beastly Deal. So if you have read our Fairy Tales or Forever books, this is like the Beauty and the Beast retelling that we're doing for the podcast that everybody's been asking about because we kind of left a little tease at the end of the last book about this one. And so I think people have been really excited for it. So yeah, come back. Right.
Tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read.